Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Ann, and this is my show, Say What? When? Where? And the question I've asked my whole life, why? So we're going to ask all of those questions tonight. But first, I want to start with one very strong point, and that is, there is just one power here on the earth. There is just only one stream of energy. And the only way to be alive here on earth is to breathe the breath of life when you come out of the womb and become a conscious living soul. And the power that you have today is all the power there is. And there is only one power. So I wanted to set that stage and provide a common foundation here for us to start this dialogue. Now, if you've listened to my show, you know that I was raised in a Christian home. My mother had what she called her Road to Damascus experience in a Baptist church, and she began taking all of us to church every Sunday. And we went to church on the bus. We had to walk 3 blocks to the bus stop. And then my mother met a lady who invited our family to go to a Pentecostal church. And this lady sent her automobile and her driver to pick us up and take us to the Pentecostal church, which was clear across town. And we felt so rich. I can still remember how luxurious her big Lincoln Town Car sedan was. Well, eventually my stepdad was able to buy a car, and then we went in our own car across town to this Pentecostal church, and I went there all the way up to the time that I was married. And I can remember listening to the preacher tell us back when I was about 10 years old that all the signs were pointing to the day of the Lord, that all the prophecies had been fulfilled, and Jesus was coming any minute. Well, this was 70 years ago. And I can still remember thinking at 10 years old that I didn't want Jesus to come. I wanted to have my own life and to go to college and get married and have children and have my own home. So when I would hear him preach like that, I would start to pray and I'd say, Jesus, please don't come yet. Dear Jesus, please don't come yet. Now, I must say that of all of the religious backgrounds I could have had to lay a foundation for my current spiritual life, the Pentecostal teachings were the best. For at least they told us about our true salvation, that it was always God's will to heal us and that we were to live in total health. And all the time I was growing up, we never went to the doctor. My mother would just lay hands on us and pray for us, and we were healed. And today I still don't take any kind of medications of any kind. Because our preacher taught us that the word translated witchcraft in the Bible was actually from the Greek word pharmakia, from which we get the English word pharmaceutical. And the Bible says that anyone who practices witchcraft, or if you said that in today's language, it would be takes drugs of any kind, is not cleansed and cannot live in the kingdom of God. And we were also taught the principle of tithing and that the tithe was the one promise in the Bible where God said to prove me now. Let me prove this to you. If you tithe to me, I will pour out a blessing to you that is exceedingly abundant over all you can think or ask. Now, spiritual abundance is a topic for another radio show at some other time, but suffice to say that although it could include a Mercedes and 55 pairs of shoes, a spiritually abundant person lives in a state of peace and contentment that is more non-materialistic, where labels and status symbols are not as important as the person's inner contentment, peacefulness, physical health, and personal happiness. And I have always said that if I'm going to wear a designer label outfit, they'll have to pay me to advertise for them, and that my value and my self-worth does not depend upon me carrying a Louis Vuitton purse. And this preacher also taught us that there is just one power. And that's what it says in Hebrews. All power is of God. So even today, even though I've left the confines of the traditional church because the church age is now over and we are living in the age of the kingdom of God, today I am more aware than ever that there is just one power. There is just one way. There is just one truth. And there is just one life. And I still believe and I now know that Jesus is the representative and the actual human living embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. And he came to earth to demonstrate this and to be the example for us. He came as a human and he did everything he did as a human to show us our inheritance as a son of God. Because the one power that was the action of Jesus' life is in us. And that power is in everyone and everything. This power gives life to the rocks and the minerals. This power gives life to the trees and the plants. This power gives life to the animals, and this power gives us our life. There is just one power, and that power comes from before the beginning and will be powerful after the ending. Now, why is this so important? Well, during the church age, which was from the time that Jesus came until 12:21-12, this primordial power has been split into two deities, God and the devil. And now it's time in the age of the kingdom of God to awaken to the truth that there is just one power, and there always has been just one power. And I invite you to listen to one of my archive shows. It's called Reflections, because on that show I go into who Lucifer and Satan are and what has happened to them and where they are now and what they are doing. Because a lot of Christians think that Lucifer and Satan are the same person, and they're not. And now that the church age is over, it would be good for you to know the truth about these two sons of God who have been so maligned during the church age. Yes, that's what I said. They were sons of God. And I will add that God can never be separated from any part of himself. The power of the one power is love. And there is no way to be separated from loving and being loved. So that is why it is so important now to point out the places where we have been separated and to begin the reuniting. And the principal place that we have been separated in our thinking is that there are two deities, God and the devil. Well, you know, when Jesus used that word devil, he was using it in its Greek definition, which means opposition. He said the church leaders of his day were of their father, the devil, meaning that they were in opposition to his teachings. And I have to say that the church leaders of this day are also in opposition to Jesus' teachings, as long as they preach that a fabricated and erroneous being called the devil has power. Jesus declared that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that fullness he called the kingdom of God. He said it was within him, and he said the kingdom of God is also in us. So there's just one power. It is called the kingdom of God. And the only power in the kingdom of God is the one power that is of God, for all power is of God. So I hear you asking, well, if there's only one power, then what about all the shooters and the rapists and the pedophile and all the other evil that goes on here on earth? Well, we can just say what Jesus said. Those sons of God are in opposition to Jesus' teachings, just like the church leaders of Jesus' day, because we live on a free will planet. And that's what makes Earth so important in the whole scheme of things. And that's why Jesus came here. Earth is a school of higher education in the cosmos. It's the place where ascending sons of God can be made perfect and prepared for cosmic responsibilities. Anybody who incarnates here on Earth has the potential to become a fully manifested Son of God, operating in the fullness of the Godhead bodily, because that's the purpose of Earth. So no matter how sinful a person seems, buried deep within that soul is the aspiration of the universe to become a Jesus. Well, just let us look at another son of God. Actually, this son of God was called Beloved of God. That was King David, in the Old Testament. Well, King David saw Bathsheba one evening in the moonlight. She apparently was taking a bath in a courtyard, and he could see her, and he lusted after her. So he premeditatively ordered her husband, who was a general in his army, to lead his next battle with a predetermined plan to make sure he got killed in the process so David could have his wife. And another time he stormed into the temple and right into the Holy of Holies in a human rage of hunger and ate the showbread. An act that would ordinarily have brought immediate death by stoning. Are these acts of a son of God? Well, I believe that the Bible is the story of Jesus, and it starts with Adam, Jesus in his first incarnation, and that Jesus was everybody else in the Bible, including David. So he lusted, and he had a man killed in order to fulfill his lust. Acts of a son of God who fell short of the glory of God that he actually was. So in considering that there is just one power and all power is of God, then the conclusion is that humans can use God's power in any way that they choose, since this is a free will planet. Because this is true, and because this is true, as a society, we have set up a lot of rules and regulations that serve to try to protect us from the free will actions of others that could be harmful to us. And we have a justice system that tries to penalize those who use their free will in acts of self-expression that are not in the highest and best interest of others. It is my reflection today that because the church has taught us this dualistic philosophy these past 2,000 years, that the majority of the collective believes that they were born bad and that they need to be saved from being a bad person. Even the rosary today says, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And I was listening to a radio show this week that's sponsored by the Catholic Church, and they were discussing the once saved, always saved doctrine. And they adamantly stated that just because a Catholic believes in Jesus doesn't mean that they will eventually go to heaven when they die, because they have to also live a good life and daily confess their sins to make sure that at the time of their death, they are fully absolved of all of their sins. Or they could go to purgatory, or even worse, go to hell. Now, there were those who broke away from the Catholic Church in the Protestant Reformation when Martin Luther nailed his thesis on the doors of the Vatican and began to declare that we did not need a mediator between ourselves and God. We did not need to go through the priest to be forgiven. We could go directly to God for the remission of our sins. But there is still the sin consciousness and the idea that we were born bad and that we were sinners that needed to be saved. And then the Christian church set up a doctrine to teach their people to fight the good fight of faith, that the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. You have to fight against the devil and fight your evil self and crucify your evil self. And that's how the concepts of good and bad and right and wrong and God and the devil grew and grew and became established of truth. And today, this is a deeply rooted idea in the minds and hearts and in the actual very cellular structure of the human soul, that there are two powers, God and the devil. And if you listen today to some of the preachers who are on television or the radio or especially on the internet, it sounds like the devil has more power than God. However, this week we saw a very clear demonstration of how there is just one power. Because that rancher in Nevada decided to take a stand against the Bureau of Land Management and to demand that the federal government give him back his cattle. Now, what has happened here is the most dramatic demonstration of the truth that there is just one power that I've seen in a long time. It looks like the power of the people against the power of the federal government. But do you know what is really going on here? Is a clarification of the original idea of government. It is the idea that government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. So in this demonstration, it is the people against themselves, like an autoimmune disease. Because I think the people of the United States have forgotten that they are the government. I think they see the federal government as something different from themselves, like there are two powers. their own personal sovereign rights, and then the power of the federal government. But the federal government only has the amount of power that the people give to it. Without the people, there is no federal government. And in this case, apparently, the lands where this rancher's cattle were grazing had been set aside by some kind of an agreement of some people who wanted to protect a certain species of turtle. It seems these lands are a habitat for a specific turtle that would go into oblivion if their land was not protected. So somewhere, at some time, people agreed together to do this. And then, so these lands were set aside for the turtle, and then this rancher was required to pay fees to the Bureau of Land Management to be able to let his cattle continue to graze there. Now, actually, the cattle and the turtles were always in harmony with one another. They got along just fine. This is just another example of man acting within the scope of his free will to decide to do something that he thinks is a good thing to do. And a lot of times, these agreements to dedicate land for certain uses are reached within a very tiny fragment of the whole collective by a small group of people who have very tiny altruistic ideals, like in this case, to love a turtle. And it's when one person's ideal oversteps and infringes on another person's ideal where the conflicts arise. Now, actually, this rancher is supposed to have been paying fees all along, which he quit doing. So the Bureau of Land Management did have the right to get his cattle off of the land. But when other people joined together with the rancher to support him and help him defend what he thought were his rights, then the federal government, this great, big, supposedly powerful entity, backed off. Because just one person who decides to stand up in his own power, this ignites the power within others who now want to join together with him. And they generated enough power together to take down the federal government. Because the federal government only has the power of the people, by the people, for the people. I hope I can get this illustration clear and help everybody to see. It is like an autoimmune disease where the body thinks that something in the body is attacking the body, so the immune system fights the body. It's the body against the body. Federal government only has whatever power the people give to it. So when the people stand in their power, there's only one power. It's not us against them. There is only one power. And in this case, that power is being used against its own power. Now, in this case, as with all conflicts, there is truth on both sides. And this isn't over yet, because all of the parties concerned here, the people who love the turtle, and then the people who originally agreed to give this land to the federal government's right to collect the fees, because people originally gave the government the right to collect the fees, the rancher and his family's original rights to the land, states' rights, this is just a very complicated issue. And the many, many, many layers of truth must be peeled away. And you know who is going to determine what the end result of this is? The people. Because in the soul of each and every human being who breathes the breath of life lies the power of that individual's sovereignty, which is powered by the one power. And each and every person, together with each and every other person, will empower the final solution to this complicated issue. And as we peel off the layers, each and every one of us is going to have the opportunity to choose how we are going to use our own sovereign power. Because this same thing is true about the devil. First of all, there is no such person as the devil. But people think that the devil is a person and that the devil has power because many, many individual people have created this devil and then they've given their power to the devil. Because each person who believes in the devil, who joins their sovereign power with another person who believes in the devil and with others who believe in the devil, now the devil has power. Because the devil only has whatever power the people give to it. So, anytime a person stands in the power of their own sovereignty as a son of God in the kingdom of God and gives that power to the devil, then the devil has power. Whether it's the power of the devil or the power of the federal government, they have no power other than the power that we give to them. Because there is only one power. It is the power of the kingdom of God within each and every person who breathes the breath of life and is an eternal soul. And to the extent that we allow the power of that kingdom of God within us to come out of us and come out upon the earth, and we give our power to something, whether it's a turtle or the federal government or the devil, to that extent, we are creating the kingdom of God here on earth. But I have to tell you, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, look around you. Do you see righteousness, peace, and joy? And the Constitution of the United States says that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness with freedom and justice for all. Now, these were sacred words written by a group of sons of God who came to this country to establish the kingdom of God here. Do you see the kingdom of God manifesting? The power of the kingdom of God is love. Do you see love manifesting here? Are we just a group of sovereign beings living in fear and anxiety? Because the drug companies are laughing all the way to the bank as they increasingly sell their anxiety medications and all of their autoimmune disease medications. Okay, after laying this foundation, we'll ask the question that I called this show tonight. What power does fear have? Why are people so scared today? Why are we so fearful? And now that I have laid my foundation, it should be a pretty easy transition to consider that fear only has the power that we give to it, because we are the one who is going to decide. So let us look at how and why we do things. Are we making our decisions from a learned sense of fear, based on information that has been taught to us that isn't true? Or do we decide to do things and make decisions based upon what we know to be true and based upon how much we love ourselves and how much we love others? So we just need to apply the thesis of my philosophy tonight. There is only one power. And in looking at fear, if we apply the principle, then fear and love are just one power. We either are going to give our power to fear or we're going to give our power to love. Because love and fear are the same power. Now, I have just a simple story to tell you. I obey the law, maybe out of fear, because I know that I know that I know that I could never be shut up in a cell, put into a cell in a prison, and have the door locked and can't get out. No! I remember when I was raising my children, and they were 8 and 9 years old, our city built a new jail. And before they moved the prisoners from the old jail into the new jail, they had an open house, and they invited the public to come and see the new jail. So my husband and I took the children to see the jail. Well, when we got there, the process was that the police treated each person as if they were being booked and were going to be put in jail. So we were fingerprinted. And then each one of us was put in a cell, and they closed the door. And I heard that big clink, and I felt the imprisonment. And I just absolutely panicked. I screamed. I said, "Open this door. Let me out. Let me out. I can't stand this." And I had to get out of that cell. I know myself well enough, and I love myself enough now to know that I could never be put in a jail cell. So I obey the law. And now I feel that I obey the law out of love for myself, knowing that I do not need to punish myself by using my free will to break the law and end up in a jail cell, which I know I could not stand to be in. So using our free will to empower fear is at its primordial essence our need to punish ourselves and to inflict pain and suffering upon ourselves because we are bad. I was at a coffee clutch party recently where one of the girls was confessing that she was having a relationship, that is the word she used, relationship, with a man who's getting married to someone else this October. Those invitations have been set, the deposits have been made, the wedding is booked. And he is still kissing her. And when she asked him why he still wants to kiss her, he said, "Because I am a scumbag." And I asked her, "Well, why are you still kissing him?" And she said, "Because I don't believe I deserve better." And I said, "Well, why don't you believe you deserve better? Don't you know that if he's kissing you while he's getting married to someone else, he'll kiss someone else if you get married to him? He's telling you the truth. He's a scumbag." And another girl said to her, "Please believe her. He is telling you the truth." And I had a man tell me the truth at the beginning of our sexual relationship, that he didn't want to be married and he didn't want to have any children, and I didn't believe him. I thought I could change him, and I ended up just being a sexual convenience to him until one day he did meet a woman, fall in love, get married, and had a child with her. What I learned is that he didn't want to get married to me. He didn't want to have a child with me. And I have been devastated ever since. Believe me, he is telling you the truth, and you need to get out of this scumbag's life and begin to believe that you do deserve better. Well, what is it about women who think they can change a man and make him into what she really, really wants him to be? Why not wait until you meet the man who is what you really, really want him to be? Is it that old myth that a bird in the hand is better than a bird in the bush? Or are these people, women, just afraid that no other man will come along so they hang on to the one they have? So to these two people, women, I would say, you are a sovereign being who breathes the breath of God and is an eternal, a living soul. You are here to fulfill your purpose, which is to live in the kingdom of God here on earth. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And there is no righteousness in kisses from a man who's getting married to someone else in October. There's no joy in watching him walk down the aisle with another woman. There's no peace in having sex with a man who has said he doesn't want to get married and have children with you. Every day would be a slap in the face. Every day your hopes and dreams for loving and being loved and being married and having a child are squashed. I would tell these two women, in fact, I did tell all of the women at the Coffee Clutch, to come to my Friday night 21st Century Prayer Meeting here on Blog Talk Radio, Friday nights at 7 o'clock, where they can begin to be true to themselves and to begin to know their value and their worth as an individual expression of God, and to begin to know why they are here, what their purpose is, and begin to know that it is the truth that their individual desires and all of their needs as a woman can and will be fulfilled. And I would like to invite any of you who are listening right now to come to my Friday night prayer meeting. It's only 30 minutes long. And during that sacred time, you are the only person who matters. And you can also download my book, which is soon to be retitled to Hopes and Dreams and Color Schemes, at www.MrRightForMe.com, and print out pages 45 to 48 and begin to clarify what you really, really want. And then at the prayer meeting, you can begin to take the steps to create what you really, really want. And I would say to all the men who might be listening to me right now, there is a great shift going on right now, and women are beginning to realize their divinity, why they were created, and what their true and righteous role is. And this is going to reorganize our society. And once again, we are going to be looking to men to be the man that was envisioned in the minds of the Elohim when they said, let us make man in our image and let us give him the dominion over all the earth. And for you to be that man, you also will want to look into the power of the kingdom of God that is within you and see if you would have had the guts to take a stand against the federal government, not knowing if it would have been another Waco or not. We are shifting into righteousness, peace, and joy. And where are the men who will be the righteous representatives of God here upon the earth? Where is there a man who is true to his own inner personal integrity that demands that he live his life as a true and honest and trustworthy manager of his own domain of activity, who provides for his own well-being and who can provide for the well-being of his family? because I believe that when the woman fully realizes her divinity, then she will only be attracted to a man who fully realizes his divinity. And the divinity of a woman and the divinity of a man is the divinity of the one power that is the only power there is. It is the power of the kingdom of God that is within every person who has ever breathed the breath of life here upon the earth. So why do we fear? Fear is defined as a feeling. So the power of fear comes from the heart, because it's in the heart where we feel things. And the heart's real power is love. So we would be using the power of our love to be afraid. And we're afraid because we don't believe we are being loved. Because if we were being loved, we would be safe, and we would not need to be afraid. I think mostly we fear for our life. That's why we fear losing our job. And we subject ourselves to conditions and rules and regulations that are forced upon us by an employer, conditions that do not allow us to express our divinity and to use our gifts and talents. We're just a robot doing a mechanical job. And we've also been programmed to think of the doctor as a god, when today doctors are just drug pushers, legally making drug addicts out of people while we try to teach our kids not to take drugs. And I personally just can't stand to hear one more commercial that gives a list of the side effects of a drug that the pharmaceutical company is trying to get you to talk to your doctor about. I just do not understand how a person with free will who has the right to choose would willingly go to a doctor and ask about taking a drug that could cause paralysis, blindness, or death. Only fear of losing our life could motivate a person to take a drug that could cause death. And that to me just sounds like an oxymoron, but what else could be the answer? The Bible says that all fear is rooted in the eventual fear of death. So if we think there's something wrong with us and we might die, we go to the doctor to try to get help, and we're giving a drug that could cause death. Well, the Bible also says that what we fear comes upon us, so here is the true case of that. Fear of death would cause us to submit ourselves to something that could cause our death. Well, it is the fear of death that has kept millions of people enslaved to the Catholic Church and the Christian Church, because they've taught people that when they die, they could go to a forever tormenting, burning hell forever. And this fear of death also is rooted in the faulty teachings that we were born a sinner and need to be saved, or we will go to hell when we die. And you know what? None of that is true. None of it. There is no hell. And we are not born a sinner. We are born to be an individual and unique personality that is the pure and true expression of the form of God here upon the earth. There is only one power, and that power is the breath of God that we breathed when we came out of the womb and became a living soul. That power is pure. That power is a never-ending stream of consciousness that is full of all of the wisdom and knowledge from before the beginning to after the ending. That power beats our heart. That power is how we do everything. It's how we make our decisions. It's how we live. And we can be a faithful and a true representation of God here upon the earth and live in the kingdom of God here and now. Or we can be a scared, worthless scumbag. It's just up to us. It's up to you what you really want for yourself. And it's up to me for what I really want for myself. And I have chosen to be free. I have chosen to be that form of God here on earth that I was born to be. I have chosen to act in my own personal sovereignty, responsible for all of my actions, free of corporate or religious controls, free to express. And this freedom includes liberty and justice for myself and the right to pursue my own personal happiness. And let me tell you, this is a wonderful way to live. It's the way our forefathers desired for us to live, and I recommend it to you with my whole heart. And I have this radio show because I want to be an encouragement to you, and I want to help you move into your own personal sovereignty and express your personality as a son of God in the kingdom of God here upon the earth. And when you do, you will no longer use your power to be afraid of anything. You will use your power to love and to be loved. And you will be happy. And you will no longer settle for less than you deserve. You will know that you are valuable. You are not bad. You deserve health and wealth and to have all the desires of your heart. And so I just want to close my show tonight saying the words of the ancient Hawaiian people. Iki, the world is what you think it is. Kala, there are no limits. Everything is possible. Makaya, energy flows where attention goes. Manawa, now is the moment of power. Mana, all power comes from within. Pono, effectiveness is the measure of truth. And aloha, to love is to be happy with. And with that wonderful word, aloha, this is Marcianne. And I will say aloha to you now. And aloha also means hello and goodbye. And I love you.